You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Welcome to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, daily conversations with Christian entrepreneurs to inspire and empower Christian business owners to walk strongly in their faith, while build a thriving business that honors Him in every way. Now, over to your host, Anne Marie Cross.
And welcome to another episode of the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. This is episode 40, and I'm your host, Anne Marie Cross, the podcasting queen. Now, my guest today says that she believes that God has placed within every one of us a God-sized vision, something that we couldn't do with our own natural talents or resources, so that He gets the glory and not us. Fear is the antithesis of faith, so it's important to trust Him and then step into that impossible dream. Now, joining me on today's show is Gigi Michelle Denard, and her business, Well-Fed Spirit, Soul, Body, offers resources and services to help you be well, love well, work well, live well, and eat well. With the common theme of well-being, the Lord has merged her giftings as an author, a speaker, a trainer, and chef into the ministry through business. Now, on today's show, Gigi's going to share from the Lord's perspective that process is as important, if not more so, than the end game. She's also going to be talking about fear is the antithesis of faith. God has placed within every one of us, as we mentioned in the intro, a God-sized vision, and there's no way that we could achieve that on our own without His support, and so that He gets the glory. She's also going to be talking about, despite the emotional and psychological hardships which have come along with it, being unique is much more a blessing than a curse. So welcome to the show, Gigi.
Thank you so much, Anne-Marie. I am absolutely delighted to be here today.
Love that you're here to talk about some of the things that we shared in the introduction. I think for many of us, particularly Christian entrepreneurs, we can often get in our own way when we forget that we are here to serve and to do everything to the worship and the glory of His name. But one of the things I want to dive into first, I'm giving all of the guests an opportunity just to share with us the journey that led you down to being in business, what we've described in the work that you do now. Was it a general progression, or was it something that you've always dreamed of doing?
Definitely a general progression, and nothing that I dreamed of doing, actually.
Okay. Wow.
I sort of was pushed into it by the Lord. Mm-hmm. Circumstances sometimes are what He uses to shape our path.
Yes.
And in 2013, I was suddenly laid off. I was working for the president, owner of a dealership, car dealership.
Mm-hmm.
And even that journey had already been bizarre, but it was great and I was loving it. And then she sold the business to a large conglomerate. There was no role that I possessed in their model. So they got rid of my position and I ended up not having a job for the first time and I don't know when.
Mm-hmm.
And then the market was awful and I ended up being mostly unemployed for like 2.5 years.
Yeah. Wow.
And in that time, I was thinking about it today and I was thinking, you know, I see Well-Fed sort of as the butterfly emerging from the cocoon of this journey. Because I think it started out, first I started out with a consulting business that I called Renaissance Tailored Consulting.
Mm-hmm.
And this was after, you know, looking and looking and looking and not getting any hits on a job. And I was like, well, I've got some skills. Let's try to do something to get some kind of income.
Mm-hmm.
So I created this little business, this consulting thing. It's like, I can do training. I can do help people with writing. I can do editorial services, you know, different kind of stuff. And so I called it Renaissance Tailored Consulting Solutions. And then, but, you know, it wasn't really doing much of anything. And then I was doing interim temp jobs, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm.
I'd get a job here, maybe it'd last a week, maybe it'd last a month, but still kind of wasn't landing. And previously I'd had an event planning and catering business.
Mm-hmm.
When I live in California. So I kind of kept feeling like there was some food thing left in me to do, but I really wasn't sure what that was going to be. So, you know, I kind of prayed about it, but in the process, I also published a book in 2012 called Hungry for Wholeness, mm-hmm. A Call to Pursue Healing and Restoration in Your Father-Child Relationship. So that book jumped off. I ended up being invited to speak at a conference. So there were kind of all these different things pulling at me. Mm-hmm. And I really, they all seemed to be God, but it was confusing.
Yes.
You know, and I felt like I have no idea. So a colleague of mine who knew I was going to speak at this conference said, "Do you have a website?" And I said, "No, not at the moment." She goes, "You have got to have a website. I mean, just do something. You've got to make something happen. You can't go speak to these people and have no way to follow up with them." Mm. So rather than Renaissance Taylor Consulting, which really didn't kind of fit anymore, I ended up with this website I call GG Task, TASC, for trainer, author, speaker, chef.
Yes.
And I kind of went with what I knew, mm-hmm. but I knew something was missing. You know, I mean, I went with it. It served the purpose, but I wasn't settled on the inside. I felt like I know that God has placed these diverse gifts in me for a reason. And I don't get that yet. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, earlier on, I always felt a little odd, you know, like, what do you do with when you're very left brain and very right brain all at the same time? Mm. And you've got a lot of different interests and you really could do a number of different things, but you don't really know what God's saying.
Yeah.
You know, where do you go with that? Mm. But I felt like the Lord really had something where it all would come together.
Yes.
And so Well-Fed sort of sprung up literally in June of last year. Mm. I was preparing to do a food gig at my day job. We were having this huge employee engagement event and I was going to get a chance to exhibit something. I asked the Lord, "What should I do?" And he said, "Do food." Because everybody's open to food. So I did a food thing. And again, it was website time. And driving home, I got the word well fed. It was just a phrase that just kind of popped in my head. And I was like, "Oh, that's kind of catchy." Mm-hmm. But right after that, I got a picture of a well, you know, like the kind with a water pump.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Ooh, Lord, that's kind of deep." So that wasn't the first well that I heard. You know, when I heard well-fed, I was thinking well like good, not well like well.
Yes.
But immediately it all came together. That song, I don't know if you know that song, "Spring Up a Well Within My Soul, Spring Up a Well That Makes Me Whole, That gives to me a life abundantly." And immediately I knew. It's like, whoa, that's what I've been waiting for. Everything I do is really connected to well-being of some sort.
Yes.
And this whole idea of the Lord at the well and being a living spring and, you know, springs of water living and rising up in us and flowing out from us all made sense.
Yes.
So that's how we got to Well-Fed, but it's really, it was so cool.
Wow.
And so fulfilling to feel like, okay, this is all beginning to like come into something now.
Yeah, beautiful story, beautiful testimony. Speak a little bit before we move on to, from the Lord's perspective, the process is important. I want you to just reflect some of the insights and learnings, because someone might be watching or listening today that is going through that transition. Looking back and then being able, and I think it was Steve Jobs that says, you know, when you look back, you can then join the dots. And God often works that way for something that exactly what we're going to talk about a little bit in a moment, in that he doesn't often give us the whole picture. And it can be confusing, and it can be very easy in that time to be distracted, discouraged, to become doubtful by the enemy, because he does not want us to live out our destiny sure. that God is developing us for. So what were some of the insights that you've learned across that time that you can now impart for others who are going through that very same thing today?
Sure. I think that you're right. There were a long season of just kind of being discouraged, frustrated, not having a sense. But I also think that for me, I kind of just, not only didn't I know what, but I had no sense of like what to do and where to go, but I had no sense of what to do in the meantime. Mm. You know, like, what am I supposed to be doing while I'm waiting on the Lord? Like, what does that really mean? You know, you hear people, you get that kind of counsel. Well, you just have to wait on God.
So, you know, okay, well, we're here?
Yeah, exactly. You know, what does that really mean? And it was actually, interestingly enough, it was an Australian minister, Christine Kane, who in a message one afternoon that July, when it all, like, I was able to sort of take a breath. Now, my circumstances did not change right away, but I had a sense of purpose in the waiting. Mm-hmm. She did a message talking about the dark room. I studied photojournalism. I've developed photographs. So that was a message and an imagery that the Lord knew would resonate for me. So that afternoon, I got, it's like, you're in the dark room. You're just in the dark room. There's a processing that's going on. And that processing is critical to your success. You know, you look around and sometimes I see Christians who have maybe had a gifting and a talent that they've been using for the world. And then, you know, they come to know the Lord and they want to jump back out there out of the energy of that gift and talent. But a lot of times they're not ready. They're not really ready for that God-sized dream. They're not ready to handle what God is about to do. And so, you know, they fly high and then flame out. You know, sometimes the big crash. And I felt like God was trying to protect me even against that. Like, I can't, you can't be exposed too soon. You're not ready. There's some things that you need to deal with. You know, even fear of maybe fear of my own self, you know, fear of, well, what if I'm going to be one of those people? What if I'm not going to be able to handle it? So there was a place of trust that he needed to get me to. And that was part of the processing. The other thing is that if you, not only can you prematurely expose, you know, be exposed prematurely and ruin the photo, but you can also, you know, it has to go in a particular order. You know, so there are all these solutions that they have to go through. You can't just randomly do it. There's, you know, there's the first solution, and then you have to give it some time, and then the second solution, you have to give it some time. And it can't go any faster than it goes. You know, and kind of in understanding that, I felt like the Lord was saying, look, you're in the dark room. I'm doing the processing. There is a picture on the end of this, but it can't process any faster than what I'm doing. So just learn more to trust in me and wait on trust in my timing. You know, so for that year, my word became Kairos, God's appointed time. And I think understanding that, that God has an appointed time for every piece of our journey, every piece, nothing has escaped him. And I noticed that when I just wait for that signal, like, okay, it's time to move now into this piece, doors fly open, you know, things happen almost effortlessly. And ever since I got the name, I've been much more just like, okay, he's doing something. You know, everything doesn't come at once. You know, the June thing went really well with my introducing that line. And then we've been just kind of not really dormant, but little, you know, a little thing here. I got my book cover redesigned. You know, I've got somebody now writing a foreword. You know, and he'll take me there. But understanding that God is very systematic. Even when things feel really random, they're not. He's actually very systematic. He's got the perfect plan. And when we trust in him and his character and his nature, out of that relationship comes all the rest of the stuff. You know, he we can't do it better than he can do it.
We think we
can make it more successful than he can make it.
I mean, that is just an incredible insight for sure, and beautifully speaks to, you know, from his perspective, that process is important. He's developing the strengths, the skills, the knowledge, the awareness, everything, the wisdom that we are going to need for the next season of our life, of our business. And I just actually mentioned it to the guest, Tracy Wren, I was speaking, that their experiences, even the negative experiences, the people that I've had on this show already have gone to being drug addicts in prison, alcoholics, to now being completely transformed, you know, through and by the Holy Spirit. Now, absolute, you know, disciples for him. And, you know, I think as Christians, we can never look back at regret, you know, and have shame and fear and all of that about our past, because that may have been us purposefully there in the dark room, as Christine Kane so beautifully painted that analogy, developing the strength that we can now go with his word, with his knowledge, with his, you know, blessing to speak into the lives of the people, men and women who are going through the same thing. Had we not gone through that experience, we would never be able to build that engagement, I think, and that level of trust with those people. So that's just incredible. So I know that you've just spoken, you know, some truth and life into someone's situation who's going through that right now. Let's talk about fear as the antithesis of faith. Because sometimes when we're in that dark room, the enemy can throw all of these things to us, fear being one of them, and that again can have us derail ourselves. What insights can you share here?
You know, I think that, you know, when you're in a committed relationship with the Lord, and you know that you know that you know that you're walking with the Lord, but everything around you just seems so clouded, and you don't feel like you have clear direction or instruction, you know, I think that does put us in a very vulnerable place, spiritually and emotionally and psychologically. It becomes much easier, I think, for the enemy to speak things and whisper things directly or through others that can derail us. I think sometimes just the fear of missing God, you know, can be overwhelming. You get to a place where, you know, you feel like, I really want what I'm doing to glorify God. I really want, you know, I've prayed so many times, like, Lord, please, if this is not you, don't let me waste my time. You know, I don't want to just be doing something just to be doing something. I don't want to be doing something just because I can do it. You know, technically I could do it. Okay, fine. I could do it. But if it's really not going to bring forth life in somebody else's life as well as my own, and if it's really not going to be part of my fulfilling my purpose for why you have me here on earth, then I will just as soon skip it. You know, to me, that's kind of going around the mountain several times. But so that can be positive, but then you can get so paralyzed by, but I don't want to miss God. You know, well, what if this isn't you, Lord? You know, so I think for me, fear can become inertia. So I do nothing. You know, I can become paralyzed by the fear, so I stop and won't take a step because I'm not sure. I'm like, I don't know. You know, this doesn't necessarily have to make sense, but I don't know. You know, I just don't know if I'm hearing you or not, Lord. And, you know, the word points to, he says, when you walk, he will speak to you and tell you to go to the left or the right. Doesn't say when you stand still, when you don't move. You know, and I felt like he was saying, I need you to just take a step. I need you to like point somewhere. Like I can't even give you direction because you won't move, you won't budge. And so I think for me, it was critical to get past that fear of missing God. I had to spend a whole lot of time really meditating on, how much do I really trust you? You know, the Lord speaks to me a lot through music, a lot. So I have multiple Spotify playlists targeting me in certain areas of faith. So during that time, I built a playlist where all the songs are about trusting the Lord. And I sang them. and I meditated on them and I worshiped him into a place of peace and contentment with the unknown, and trusting that even if I missed it, even if I went the wrong direction, even if I accepted the wrong assignment, God was big enough, bad enough, loving enough, faithful enough to get me back on track. So one of my favorite scriptures has become, you know, he is working in me both to will and to do it for his good pleasure. That battles a lot of the fear. You know, I don't have to try to carry that, you know, trying to hear God perfectly thing on my shoulder. He is at work in me, both to will and good of his good pleasure. I couldn't do it on my own if I wanted to. He is at work in me. So sit down, relax. He is at work. He is at work. He knows how to get your attention. He is at work. That's helped me.
Yeah, powerful. And I think also, too, sometimes, you know, we can create fear in areas or even mistrust and doubt by overthinking things. And sometimes the Lord just says, you know what, we obviously have a seed plant in us. We want success and significance that obviously is certainly aligned with God's purpose for our lives. But sometimes he just wants us to sit quiet and spend time worshiping him in prayer and reading the word. And I think sometimes, you know, for many of us who are entrepreneurs, we're driven, you know, we're driven. We like to have our to-do list. And so sitting around, it's like, okay, come on, God. And it's like, you know what? I just need you to take it back a few notches and breathe. Because, you know, we can really be, just really wanting to move forward. But the lesson is in the trust, as we said. And sometimes in that momentum building, and that's what one of the things that have come up again and again in all of my interviews. And I love Stephen Covey, who says sharpening the sword. Now, for me, sharpening the sword is reading the Bible, is spending time in prayer, because I'm sure that you would have had experiences that no matter the amount of hours I put in, burn the candles on both ends, opportunities open up, doors open, that I think, now, where did that come from? Thank you. Exactly. You know, thank you, Jesus. There's no way I would have been able to generate that on my own. From sitting down, I can have me some more of that. Thank you. You know, but it is, I love that. We need to walk, you know, it's kind of like, come on, next step. And then because it's that walking that we go step forward in faith, knowing that the answer will be there. And that's the thing, isn't it? The trust and the knowing and the belief that he has got our back, and we can expect to get the answer. I love that. Let's talk about, despite the emotional and psychological hardships that have come along the way with it, because being unique is much more a blessing than a curse. What do you mean by that when you say that?
You know, growing up, I think that I was not very comfortable with myself. I was overcomplicated for my own self. Like, I just didn't get me. I didn't understand me. A lot of people didn't seem to understand me either. I couldn't explain it. I kind of couldn't explain that duality of my being. Even as an adult walking with the Lord, I still was uncomfortable. I would turn, like, I felt like either I could be artistic and creative, or I could be, you know, linear and analytical. But I didn't really think I could be both at the same time. So I would turn one part off of me to turn the other part on. And really was, that was frustrating, but that was kind of all I knew how to deal with it. I actually called my pastor once and told him I thought I was schizophrenic. To which he laughed. And he asked me why. And I told him, I said, because, you know, on the one hand, I'm this like really organized, systematized, logical, analytical thinker. He said, And then I said, on the other hand, I'm this really sensitive, emotional, creative, you know, just kind of wild and crazy, living on the edge other person. He said, And I said, see, that's, you know, to me, it was like, who does that? You know, like, what is that? So it's taken some time for me to really appreciate how God's made me, appreciating that he's made me this way for a purpose. You know, this design, I'm his vessel. So we each are these individual creative vessels. You know, we're all meant to create and carry a God dream, but we're all shaped differently. We're all painted differently. We're all stylized differently. And in our construction is part of our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when I embrace that, then that's when the being unique wasn't so painful.
Yes.
You know, then it was kind of like, okay, well, actually, that's kind of cool because that means there's really nobody else out here doing exactly what I'm doing because nobody else is designed exactly like me.
Exactly.
And it also made it easier to step out into some of those things that just seemed crazy, you know, unbelievably big. You know, I'll give an example. When I was getting ready to publish the book and I wanted to get some endorsements, you know, for the back cover, I prayed about it. You know, we're still in that, you know, I was waiting and trying to hear God. He'd moved so quickly to pull everything together for the book after what seemed like a decade of dormancy. And then boom, suddenly, you know, we were off and running and ready to go. And it was like, okay, okay. So about these endorsements, I felt like I was supposed to have some. Well, the list of names that came over my spirit all seemed completely out of reach.
Yeah.
I was like, you have got to be kidding me. I am Gigi Denard, who nobody knows on the planet about any of this. Seriously, you want me to reach out to these people and say, hi, would you like to endorse my book? You know, I was like, this is crazy. This is absolutely nuts.
Can you ask for me? Can you go and ask for me?
Exactly, you know?
Yeah.
But I did. Wow. I was like, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is people can say, are you crazy? I don't know you. Okay, so among the people on the list was the founder of the National Center for Fathering, my book about healing your father-child relationship. I knew this man's name. I had a book or two of his, but I didn't even know how to find him. He was no longer at the National Center for Fathering. I had to hunt him down, find an address in LA somewhere, hoping that he would get my little note some kind of way. And I found an email address that I just randomly sent to. So I get an email back and he says, you know, I don't really do this for people I don't know. And at first I'm like, see, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Who does this for people they don't know? And then he said, he asked me, did I have any relationship with his organization, which at that time was World Impact. I said, to be honest, sir, never heard of it before. Only found it because I was looking for you. and then he said, well, having said all of that, I really like your writing. And he asked me a couple of probing questions, which not only helped him get to the point of wanting to be an endorser, but actually helped shape the book. Because I had the answers in the book, but I hadn't thought about it the way he asked the questions. And they were really important questions to be answered. So I said, I'm sure it's in there, probably the last two chapters. They're very rough drafts, but can I send that to you? He said, yeah, go ahead. So I sent him, I'd only send him the intro. I sent him the last two drafted chapters, and like 3 days after that, I got an email saying, you'll have an endorsement within 24 hours.
Wow.
You know, so it was like, to me, just completely out of range.
Yeah.
But I had to kind of step out of my own fear and embrace the fact that, you know, if I could do it on my own, God really wouldn't need to be here, would he?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm beginning to kind of like that, you know, that feeling of, okay, well, now that we've exhausted my means, skills, and talents, and know-how, and resources, and people I know, God, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know?
What are you bringing to the table?
Yes, yes.
With all of this politeness and honor.
All I know to do.
Yeah. Amazing. Oh, wow. Yeah. It is really incredible, isn't it? When we really do step out in faith, we have absolute trust and we do take that action, but we have such incredible level of, that trust and that knowing that it is not through our means, but from him, then he's able to contribute the super. And I can't remember who said this, but I think it was an author, it might have been Wes Honey, and I'm sure other people have said this too, that's when God brings the super to our natural, and that's when supernatural things happen, things that are just beyond our control that have us go, wow. And if we were to backtrack that, there would be little instances where someone touched someone and spoke to someone. And then when you see the web that is, as you said, the strategy that goes behind, it's like, wow. Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And he just continues to do that.
Yes. And having absolute, as you said, having absolute faith and trust that that happens. We just continue to focus on what we know through the strengths and the skills he's given us. We continue to check in, bring it all to him, thank him for the paths that he's making straight. And we continue to build momentum, because that's really what he wants, is he wants to be part of our lives in such a way that we bring him glory and honor, but that allows him to show up and do those things, because we expect it, we know it. And I can't remember how, I'm paraphrasing it, but it says God can only show up in our lives in our faith, in what we believe is possible, what he can do. So unless we expect miracles, we're not going to see them. We're not going to see them, because it's even Jesus in the Bible, I can't remember the chapter or the verse, but Jesus was not able to do miracles in his own town because they did not believe that he was the Savior. And that's well, you know, so it's such a reminder, isn't it? Is maybe what we've been praying for or hoping for and really submitting to him, maybe we need to back up and go, well, what's your level of trust? What's your level of belief that this is actually possible? Maybe we need to switch that and ask the Holy Spirit to increase that in us so that we can, start to see that
And
come.
It's so exciting. You know, it's so exciting to see the Lord do absolutely. Well, you know, it talks about, the Bible says that he uses the foolish things to confound the wise. And I think about that a lot as I'm going through these unknown, you know, places. He must have spoken to me probably 6 months ago about having a foreword done for this book, because I thought we were done. I'm getting ready to do the second edition of the book. And I'm thinking, okay, we got a cover. I'm ready to go, right? And not really. I could tell I wasn't ready yet. And so I felt like he said, you're going to have a foreword this time. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I was reading a book at the time that kind of was father related. And I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll, you know, write to this guy and see if, you know, he'll do a foreword. And I kept saying, well, when I finish the book, well, oddly enough, I wasn't finishing the book. And it's not that I don't like the book, but I just wasn't able to finish it. And so then I started feeling, okay, maybe this isn't the guy. So I waited. So literally 2 weeks ago, maybe two Thursdays ago, I subscribed to a YouTube channel called Greeks for Christ, because I love Greek music, Greek food, kind of Greek everything. And usually it's music videos. So I got this notification that Greeks for Christ had posted a new video. I said, oh, cool. So I was Thursday on my way to Bible study. I'll pull up the video. So I pulled up the video to play it in the car, and it wasn't the music. It was a testimony. It was a testimony of a woman I've never heard before in my life. I laughed and cried kind of the whole time listening. It was an awesome testimony. I didn't even finish before Bible study, so I picked it up on the way out and drove home. But on the way home, I felt like the Lord said, this is the person we've been waiting for the forward. This woman is heavily involved in prison ministry, which is a place where I feel like my book has some real value. Place where I'm feeling more and more it needs to be shared. And I just felt all of that. I mean, so strongly that the next day, the very next day, I went through everything I could find to try to find an address for her. I found one that I thought was right. I mailed her, because I didn't have an email, I didn't have a phone number, I didn't have anything. I mailed her a packet with chapters, a couple of chapters, you know, a little background saying, hey, you know a supernatural God. I know by your testimony. This supernatural God has put me in touch with you, because you're supposed to write my foreword. I think that was on Friday. On Wednesday evening, she called me.
Wow.
It's been like we've been best friends ever since. I mean, we've talked multiple times since. we talked for 2 hours that first night.
Yeah.
And she's doing my foreword. But I mean, like, how random is that?
Yes.
A YouTube video that I thought was going to be music wasn't about some woman I've never heard of before in my life. You know, it's that kind of thing that keeps it exciting. I'm like, God, you are just so cool. Nobody could do that. No one could do that.
No, amazing, amazing. Well, two things before I ask you to share a little bit more about your work and how people can get in contact with you. Number one, I'd love to get you back on the show to talk about your book once it's out there, because I think it's going to have absolute incredible value. And number two, I would love to have an introduction to that woman, because I think she would make a great guest on the show too. Yeah, so those two things. But for now, let's just finish up the show with sharing a little bit more about the work that you do and how people can get in contact with you.
Okay. Currently, I have a website called wellfed-ssb.com. Wellfed was already taken. And so you can contact me there. I also have a Skype number, which is +1 for the U.S., area code 240-720-7521. That's 240-720-7521. And I am still doing editorial services. I do training consulting. I do have a full-time day job. So how God is working with all of that is also amazing. I am producing two independent lines. So I released Bouillon the Unchili last year. This year I am unveiling Schmear Amazement. And so I'm testing that now in the marketplace, but I anticipate both of those at some point being commercially manufactured. I know that that's the end game, and I'm just waiting on the journey for how God wants to do that. In the meaning, I'm continuing to minister and my Hungry for Wholeness message. When those doors open, whether it's at conferences or churches, I've done it at Job Corps. And I think I'll be doing it at prisons as well.
Yeah, fantastic. And that's the reason God created you like you are, with the creative and the analytical, because I think there's no way anyone who didn't have that wouldn't be able to do all the incredible things that you're doing. You're your own team, and you know, multiple in one. And what a blessing you are to all of those people who come into contact with you and who get to work with you. One of the things, Gigi, that I'm doing for everyone before we finish up the show is to just say a blessing. Am I able to do that for you today?
Thank you.
Fantastic. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to hear Gigi's testimony. What an incredible testimony to you, to speak of your awesome character, your strategic work, and when you combine your super with our natural, the impact we can have, but the doors that open up are just fantastic. And thank you. We just ask for your continued blessing on the work that Gigi is doing, for her book, for the people that she's reaching out to, and also too for the people who you have destined to read her book, so that through her message they can come to know you and have their lives transformed, knowing that you are an awesome God, that you love them so much that you sent your precious son Jesus to die on the cross for them, so that they too can have a personal relationship with you. Father, just continue to bless and find favor, as you have been already, in her life and in the work. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Gigi. It has been an absolute pleasure and honor. Just loved it. And so important. I know I've certainly been blessed through hearing you share your message today too. So thanks again. And I definitely, I mean that, I want you back on the show to talk about your book. I think
we'll get you Sarah's information.
Yeah, fantastic. So thanks again.
Thank you. Take care. God bless.
You've been listening to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, brought to you by BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. Changing the world one message at a time. Do you feel called to influence real change with your message? Join our supportive community of like-minded influencers, thought leaders, and disruptors at www.BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. That's BeTheDifferenceMovement.com.